We got breaking news, and unhinged Biden escalates war with 63 days left in office.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And of course, we're talking about the breaking news over the weekend where the Biden administration, for the first time in the war in Ukraine, has allowed U.S.-funded weaponry to be used as a direct attack into Russia. So, of course, we're discussing that, what it means, what the political fallout means. And is this just a setup not only for another world war, but a setup against a new Trump administration, making it look like, you know, is this playing politics? What do you think? Give me a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to be discussing all the events of the weekend, including President Trump's pretty epic entrance and appearance at UFC 309. So we're going to be discussing that as well. And Will, it's really a wild time when you kind of converse those two moments and all of the Trump dancing that happened in the NFL over the weekend with now this news that the war in Ukraine has been escalated.
That's right. And when you look at everything that's happened, you see kind of the joy that has come out of a Trump victory, seeing people that are openly supportive of the new administration, people that are excited about the cabinet picks. And then you see what the Biden administration is doing and what we've many times on this broadcast said, this is the most dangerous period, a lame duck presidency for Joe Biden with all the full powers of the presidency making moves here at the end of his administration. And this is something that the U.S. has said their policy was for the entirety of the involvement with the Ukraine-Russia war was that, hey, we're going to send you defensive weaponry. We're going to send you all this aid. We're sending you over $150 billion worth of it, but you can't strike inside of Russia.
Right.
This has to be for defensive use, defend your territory. We don't want to escalate this war into something bigger. But now the Biden administration in this 11th hour decision is changing their mind, saying that the U.S. supplied long-range weapons can be used against Russian territory, specifically targeting soldiers from a different nation, the North Korean soldiers that are there. So right. Now they're trying to use U.S. weapons inside Russian territory against another adversary's soldiers. This seems like a very dangerous time for the U.S. to change policy as they just have 63 days left in office when the candidate who is president-elect is against war, yeah. Against escalating war.
It certainly feels like a political move, but one that could have just dire consequences. I mean, again, I don't know if everyone's really familiar with how many troops from North Korea are in these regions. It's said that there are thousands of troops to the Kursk region in Western Russia to assist Putin's force in the war on Ukraine. And then it says, of course, this decision was communicated to Ukraine 3 days ago, the decision to try to deter North Korea from sending more troops to Russia. So again, who are we talking about we're fighting right now? Russia and North Korea. This is a pretty shocking development. You got to keep paying attention to this. It's easy to get distracted by what's going on. Obviously, there's still celebratory moments for those who are conservative over the last couple weeks. We saw, as I said, at that UFC event, that Zachary Levi call it? Like the Avengers assembled there doing their entrance, which include, of course, our colleague Tulsi Gabbard, as well as Mike Johnson, Elon Musk, Kid Rock. They ran into Jelly Roll, Dan Bongino. It was a RFK, obviously, and Trump and Vivek. It was a motley crew. They were hanging out with Triple H, the WWE. But very fun. And, of course, we saw a lot of the fighters themselves acknowledging President Trump's meeting, whether it was Jones, who after winning did the dance and came up and gave him the belt. Well, we saw Mike Chandler go up and celebrate with him, even though Mike lost, but was one of the greatest fights I've ever seen. It really was a very different mood coming out of, guess where? Madison Square Garden, Will. I don't know if you heard about this. Madison Square Garden, not just the world-famous arena. It's also, you know, maybe the UFC should look at the history of Madison Square Garden before they run events in there. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us a little bit later.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Welcome back to Seculo. Of course, we are talking about that breaking news over the weekend where, essentially, our weaponry is going to be allowed to use to strike Russia. We also know, Will, that this is coming at a time when Vladimir Putin just a few weeks ago made a statement, and he said, if this was obviously talking about that, he said, if this decision is taken, it will mean nothing less than the direct involvement of NATO countries, the United States, and European countries in the war in Ukraine. This will be their direct participation, and this, of course, will significantly change the very essence, the very nature of the conflict. When you have an American people who voted so overwhelmingly for President Trump, for policies, and you can even say for President Trump, for Tulsi Gabbard, for a lot of these people who have strong military backgrounds but have a distinct distaste for the act of war, to escalate this, it's just a moment of chaos. And you even have Secretary Blinken, obviously going out in a few months, Secretary Blinken, he essentially said, Will, in this comment, this press gaggle from just a couple days ago, that they're going to do whatever they can to make sure they would claim it as Ukraine being able to defend itself, but really spend all this money to keep us in this war.
That's right. And we'll play this bite. This was at a NATO summit. So obviously NATO is the big fear of Russia that they've been saying this war is about, not wanting Ukraine to join NATO. Now, critics of that will say, no, they just want to rebuild the old Soviet Union and take Ukraine. But as you mentioned, people voted for President Trump, who has been critical of the policy of Ukraine. I think even if you are a supporter of the Ukrainian cause, because there are many on the right and President Trump voters that still are sympathetic to the Ukrainian cause that don't want direct U.S. involvement. They don't want an escalation like Vladimir Putin says, where all of a sudden it's the U.S. shooting against Russia and vice versa, instead of it just being us sending foreign aid and military aid to the country. But they are so determined to keep this pressure up and their policy at the forefront of this, with just 63 days left to go, that not only are they changing their policy and saying, yeah, go ahead and use all these taxpayer-funded weapons that we've sent you and shoot them into Russia, and you know what, you can go ahead and take out North Korean soldiers as well. And here's what Antony Blinken, Secretary of State, said just a couple days ago at this NATO meeting about the funding going to Ukraine here in the end. Bite six.
As we're working to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs to effectively defend itself, the United States continues to step up. We've obligated just recently and pushed out the door another $8 billion in security assistance for Ukraine. That was in September. Another almost half a billion dollars just a few weeks ago. And President Biden is committed to making sure that every dollar we have at our disposal will be pushed out the door between now and January 20th.
Yeah, so that was obviously from Anthony Blinken pretty much just saying, hey, we're going to get as much money as we can to Ukraine because who knows what these Trump people are going to do. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Let's go to Ronald, who's calling in South Carolina, who's watching on Rumble, one of our favorite free speech platforms. Rumble, Ronald, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, just commenting on many of the liberals who would literally say that Trump has been a warmonger and they was afraid to let him even have the codes to the launch right. sites and stuff like that. And now you got Biden literally just ripping through and just indiscriminately just tossing out all these billions of dollars in weapons and such like that to Ukraine and everything. It's shoes on the other foot, and nobody's saying anything about it.
It does feel like, Ronald, it was one of those campaign lies that seemed to keep rearing its ugly head. Look, they've said that about Tulsi Gabbard. Now, Tulsi Gabbard's come on this broadcast every week for the last couple years and has even sometimes disagreed with our positions and our thoughts on war because she is, though active military, has been someone who has been pretty outspoken against the military-industrial complex. However, they're going to label her as a warmonger. They're going to label Donald Trump as a warmonger. But really, we all know the truth. And that's sort of the real sad part about this. Look, I don't think anyone is infallible or is wrong, or I don't necessarily think that war is not an option sometimes. Like sometimes you got to do it. But this idea that, you know, President Trump and the Trump administration, that's all they're about, is really bizarre. And it's just factually inaccurate.
Well, and they take that if people on the right are concerned about the way money is being spent, the way that the entire operation and strategy behind it is maybe escalatory instead of de-escalatory, and they try to say that the right are warmongers and are either that or they're cozied up to Putin,
right.
Which is not the case. But then you also think about this, where the Department of Defense has just failed its seventh audit in a row. So they go through and they try to say, okay, can you account for all of the military spending? They have one of the largest budgets. It's $800 billion in the U.S. government. And yet they have failed an audit. They have not received a clean audit from a third party for 7 years. And you couple that with the fact that all this aid going to Ukraine, this is just from July. Reuters put this out. The Pentagon has found $2 billion worth of additional errors in its calculations for ammunition, missiles, and other equipment sent to Ukraine, increasing the improperly valued material to a total of $8.2 billion, the U.S. government revealed on Thursday. So what you're seeing here is that they don't have their house in order. This is another reason people voted for President Trump, because of things like DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, that all our taxpayers are just being sent around the world, funding wars, escalating wars, and there's not accountability for where it's even going. There was headlines from the New York Times talking about how much of that military aid was being just taken by corrupt generals in Ukraine.
Just disappearing.
So when Blinken is saying, we've just put out $8 billion of security assistance in September, and then $500 million just a few weeks ago, and we're going to make sure every dollar we have at our disposal will be pushed out the door between now and January 20th, this is what people voted against, of saying, we don't care what it is.
We're just going to
get that money out there to Ukraine, and it doesn't matter. And then you have what we played last week of AOC talking with Joy Reid on MSNBC. And I think we should play it again.
Okay.
Because when you think about the moves of this administration, when you hear this, it should infuriate you that they're trying to spin it as who the warmongers are.
Yeah, you've been familiar with Tulsi. She's obviously been our broadcast for years. You've known her for all the time that she's been on here. They were going through on MSNBC, Joy Reid and AOC, going through kind of each person in the new cabinet. And of course, they get to Tulsi Gabbard. And what do they have to say about that? Take a listen.
And we haven't even gotten to Tulsi Gabbard potentially having access to national security information. And Russia loves it, loves her.
And I actually think almost more than Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard's appointment is devastating. And Tulsi Gabbard's nomination, as much as she says that she's an anti-war person, she's not.
Yeah.
She supports very pro-war individuals,
including
abroad.
In Syria.
And let's be very clear, yeah. A Tulsi Gabbard nomination is yeah. a pro-war nomination yes. globally, point blank, period.
As is Donald Trump as president of the United States.
The only president to not start a new war in our lifetime is President Trump. But of course, he is a pro-war president. And yeah, Tulsi Gabbard, go look at her record. She obviously has different feelings. Is actually an active military person. So sure, is she fully 100% no war ever? It's never needed? Of course not. It's about not getting involved in wars. We don't need to be there. Spending wisely. Spending our troops wisely. Making sure they're not wasted. Making sure they're not sent out to die for nothing.
That's right. And also, one of our colleagues brought up when we were talking about the content of this show, you know, they keep talking about the peaceful transfer of power. And while that is related to handing over the reins of the government, they are actively making an escalation in war, which will lead to a less peaceful time for the United States during this transition period. And I think that while there isn't a ton that can be done as of right now, it shows the importance of why even President Trump is getting people lined up already ahead of being sworn into office, of who he's going to nominate to these offices, that they can start hitting the ground running, meeting with senators, being able to explain why they need to be leading these departments, so that one, we can cut government waste, two, we cannot be meddling and escalating our involvement in foreign wars, which is a mandate, I believe, of the Trump administration, and everything that trickles down from that. When they have spent so much time in trying to reshape the Department of Defense with more liberal policies throughout the past 4 years, but at the same time also wanting to escalate these wars, but say we don't want boots on the ground, what you end up is with a weaker Department of Defense that has so entangled us in foreign wars that at some point the United States may actually have to be involved in those wars. And the problem is that they've also weakened our stature on the world stage. And that's what we need to turn around as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to take a minute to talk about the work of the ACLJ. And hopefully in the next segment, we'll be able to get to more of that. We get to hear about some of the important work that we're doing right now, because this is the most critical time of the year for a lot of nonprofits and, of course, for us. And we need your support. We've launched our Faith and Freedom Drive. We're about halfway through the month of November. We need your help to equip us with the resources we need for the monumental battles ahead. You're going to hear about this a little bit later, but today we're defending a parent in federal court for exposing a teacher's comment she made believed to be anti-Semitic. We're also defending multiple pro-life pregnant centers in multiple states who are being targeted by pro-abortion state governments, and we're preparing to fight back state leaders who vow to take down a conservative agenda. Just because of who won, and just because of who won the election, doesn't mean the fight is over. Actually, it's going to be more than ever. Go to ACLJ.org or scan the QR code on your screen.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
We are going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. So make sure you call in now. We got a bunch of lines open, so it's a perfect time to get in line. We take those usually towards the end of the broadcast, but you never know. We may get to them a little bit earlier. We are going to talk about some of the work the ACLJ is doing, but also someone new in the cabinet. As we know, Governor Mike Huckabee is going to be joining the cabinet as ambassador to Israel. He was on Fox News this morning talking about the current state of how Israel is being treated by America and what that means. Let's take a listen.
But what we've had is a schizophrenic policy toward Israel. We've put far more pressure with Joe Biden on Israel than we have on Hamas, Hezbollah, and most importantly, the people who write those checks, the Iranians. Why haven't we put pressure on them? And I keep hearing about ceasefire. We can have a ceasefire right now. We could have had it on October the 8th. Hamas lays down its arms, gives up its bombs, bullets, rockets, and stops killing Jews.
Hostages.
That's the ceasefire. Yeah, and lets the hostages, 7 American hostages, Harris. Why haven't they been released? Why hasn't this administration put more pressure to get those hostages, American hostages, all of them actually, but especially the Americans, than we're putting on Israel? This just doesn't make any sense at all. And this policy, which is on again, off again, is very disruptive, and it's really giving more rope to Hamas. And the last thing they need is some breathing room. They need to be suffocated and ended. There's no peace in that region until these terror groups funded by Iran are completely eliminated.
And we brought in Cece Hiles, senior counsel here at the ACLJ, because when you hear the Governor Huckabee's statements there, the nominated ambassador to Israel, you hear about the schizophrenic policy towards Israel. And while we are very concerned with how the Biden administration has treated Israel during this war since October 7th, what we're also concerned about is the way that their policies being lukewarm and kind of flip-flopping, even with Kamala Harris running competing ads in the United States in 2 different swing states about one being more supportive of Gaza, the other being more supportive of Israel. What we've seen is the rise of anti-Semitism at home. We've seen it across academia. We've seen it even now at the high school level. And this comes to a point of something that we're doing today. We talked last week about the fact that a very concerned parent had raised the issue of social media posts by a theater teacher at a public high school. And that theater teacher sued the parents for defamation. Today, we are in federal court. We are going after this, and we're pushing back. Talk to our audience about what we're doing today.
Yeah, you're exactly right. After October 7th, anti-Semitic attacks increased 400% across the world. And, you know, the United States is not immune to that. And so we've seen anti-Semitic attacks increase here. We've seen it in the lawfare, what we talk about a lot of times being encouraged. And this is what we have here. Again, we have a high school theater director who made anti-Semitic posts on social media. And we have a parent who is pro-Israel and says, I don't think this is appropriate, points those anti-Semitic posts out and encourages people, hey, if you disagree with these posts like I do, then you need to contact the school just like I have. Okay, that's all protected by the First Amendment. But what does this teacher do? The teacher who is saying, you know, she has a First Amendment right to make these anti-Semitic posts, she then sues the parent for defamation. And so we are defending that parent, and we have filed in federal court, or are filing today, a motion to dismiss that case. We are defending that parent's right to speak their pro-Israeli thoughts.
Yeah, and I want people to understand that likely these parents or whoever it is, without organizations like the ACLJ, likely this would never happen. They'd have no way to get representation, or they'd have no way to afford it. But of course, we're able to do that at no cost to these parents because of people like you that give. And you give during a month like this, during a Faith and Freedom Drive, all of the donations are effectively doubled because they're matched by other great ACLJ supporters and champions. So if you do that right now, understand this is the kind of action that gets taken. So not only at the biggest courts, not only at the Supreme Court of the United States, not only at the UN, also the individual who needs help in their local schools when they just have Christian or conservative views.
Right, absolutely. And you're exactly right. This is any kind of legal action taken, as you can imagine, it's costly. Yeah. And when you have a federal lawsuit that has come after you, and you now are finding that you're in the position that you have to defend it, even though you're completely innocent, and you are standing on the right side of the law, you still have to hire an attorney to defend you in federal court. And that is expensive. And so that is why the ACLJ, it's so great for all of our supporters, because we can't do this without you and the support that you give us. And then this woman, this parent, does not have to pay a dime for the legal assistance that we provide.
That's right. And to piggyback off of that point is that many times when you hear about the action we're taking, it's when, especially for a student, it's that a student was wronged by a policy of a school, and so we go and fight for them. We go on the offense. We say,
right,
you did this. Let's make sure this doesn't happen again. Here, what you have is something that's a little bit unique, where the teacher suing for defamation, no matter what, the angle of this lawsuit against this parent should have to cost them money at the end of the day. But because the ACLJ provides free legal services to defend the rights of this parent, she's not having to hire an outside law firm. It's not the case of, I can't afford a lawyer to sue my school, so therefore I'm just not going to do it and the action doesn't happen. This is so important to shut down these type of lawsuits, these defamation suits, where a teacher thinks they can go and then go after the parent that's speaking out on concern of their student. She would have to have legal defense. Yep. And we are there to step in and provide that. And then on top of that, we're trying to defeat an attack that wants more money, a defamation suit from the parent for speaking out on concern of her student.
Sure. Cece, so what's the next step here? Obviously, we want this case thrown out. But what is the next step, let's say, if that doesn't happen, and how does the ACLJ continue?
Yeah, so the motion to dismiss will be filed today, and then we wait for the judge to rule on that. If, of course, we get a favorable ruling, then we're done. Then we have defended this parent, and we're out.
Yeah.
If the motion to dismiss does not get granted, then we continue our defense, and we will continue that through the whole prosecution, or it's not a prosecution because it's not criminal, but civil, through the whole civil case. We will proceed and defend her through the whole case.
Absolutely. You can't do that without resources. We can't do that without the support. And as we head into our second half hour, I know we lose some of you here, so I want to encourage you, if you're on a local radio station that doesn't carry the full hour, you should be joining us live and watching us as well. You can do that at ACLJ.org. You can do it on our YouTube channel, on Rumble. However you get ACLJ content, you can find us there broadcasting this show live each and every day. And of course, you can catch it later on the podcast feed or on the YouTube channel, and make sure you do that. Hundreds of thousands of you do each and every day, and know that we really appreciate that. We're also going to be taking as many calls as we can. There are a few lines open, so it's a great time to call in. 1-800-684-3110. It's one of our most critical times of the year. Look, I know Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and we want to thank you for supporting our work, but also we want to give you an opportunity to bless those here at the ACLJ, our incredible team who I'm looking at right now, who need these resources so we can have the best of the best to put on this broadcast, do our legal work, do everything we do around the world. So do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org. All gifts are doubled right now. Of course, not for you. That means you give $20 and there's another ACLJ member, ACLJ champion on the other side, ready to unlock an additional $20 or $40, whatever it may be, $1,000. You can do it. Do it right now. You can scan that QR code to donate today. Join the fight and have your gift doubled, like I said, at ACLJ.org. We have a second half hour coming up, so join us. It's going to be a packed second half hour. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us, and we're going to be hearing from the most important voice in the room, and of course, that is you. So give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to ACLJ.org.
Fight for the right to live in freedom.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo again. Second half hour coming up. Of course, we want to reset a little bit and tell you the top story. That is that the war in Ukraine is escalating as President Biden has shifted the American policy to allow U.S.-funded weaponry to be used offensively in Russia, using Ukrainian, you know, we're obviously funding the war in Ukraine, giving Ukrainian supplies, billions of dollars, and now, which is a change, Will, it's a change to where we were, we've now said, hey, you can go more proactive. And of course, that is after the referendum of this election, people voting specifically against this type of thing, but billions of dollars is about to be spent on more and more, and escalating a war that, of course, all of us are nervous with because you're talking about Russia, North Korea, and the looming threat of another world war.
That's right. And you have the President of the United States changing policy in the lame duck session. There, he will no longer be president, and his party will no longer be in power in the House, the Senate, and the presidency in just 63 days. Making a shift in policy this late just comes across as borderline reckless to me. The fact that you would all of a sudden say, you know, we've had this policy ever since Russia invaded and we started sending you all this military aid, but now is the time that we're going to kind of unleash the arsenal that we are sending you and say you can use it offensively in Russian regions. There's also 63 more days left. What other types of foreign policy disasters, because the president does have a lot of leeway on setting foreign policy for the United States. What other types of disasters could we see that either escalate wars like the war in Ukraine or that harm our ally Israel? That is another one that I'm very concerned about. We know that the Obama administration, back in the last days of 2016, before he left office and President Trump was sworn in for the first time, stabbed Israel in the back at the United Nations by allowing a vote to go through and by walking out of the vote. So the U.S. didn't register a vote when the U.N. General Assembly was voting on Palestinian statehood, recognizing the Palestinians as an observer state. So if Obama did that back then, what foreign policy move that could harm Israel could we see coming down this channel of bad decisions in the next 63 days? It's concerning.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. You may have seen President Biden wander into the jungles, it appeared, at the end of his, what even that was. I'm not even exactly sure. You know, I know why they were there.
Right.
But he just turned around and walked into the jungle. So you know what? Maybe the policies will change. Let's quickly get to Rick, who's calling. And hopefully that spurs you to call in as well. Rick's an ACLJ champion. And you're an ACLJ champion. You get preferential treatment on getting your phone call taken. Rick, you're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And yeah, Biden's just finishing up. He's just finishing up the way he came in with the Afghan debacle.
Sure, right.
But no, I just want to thank you guys. I didn't realize how extensive and how far-reaching your organization was with what you do and how you help people. I mean, my wife's been giving to you for years, and I get a little overwhelmed by all the national things. I live in the Detroit area. I like to water my own backyard, my church, and my area. And my wife and I will be giving more money to you guys on a regular basis. I was really moved because let me just say this. You're doing what our government does not do. You're protecting those who need to be protected that can't really protect themselves. And I'm grateful for that. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Rick, I really appreciate that. I always think we need to bring that back up and talk about that more because it is easy to give. I mean, look, we're a show that a lot of people listen to for news and for updates, and I understand that. That's why I encourage everyone to go to our website, aclj.org. And, of course, if you need legal help, we've got a team of lawyers ready to help you at no cost, as long as it's within the scope of the organization. As Rick said, you know, fighting these fights, a lot of these fights, they seem small, but they have worldwide impact. We do that at no cost because of people like you who support the work of the ACLJ. So I encourage, if you need help, go to aclj.org, click Get Help. You do that, fill out a simple form. If it's within scope, you'll be immediately assigned to an attorney. You'll start working with them, again, at no cost. So do that, aclj.org. Also look at the incredible content that's there. Great blogs, great news stories. And, of course, you can support the work of the ACLJ while you're there during this Faith and Freedom Drive, where all donations are doubled. Rick Rennell's going to be joining us in the next segment. Then we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
Welcome back to Secula. We are now joined by Rick Grinnell, Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. Rick, obviously it's been a big couple weeks, but the news that came out over the weekend, which is this escalation in the war in Ukraine. Obviously, President Biden, the Biden administration, approving the use of weaponry, American-funded weaponry, in Russia.
Yeah, look, Logan, this is a terrible development. Let's state a couple of facts here. It's being done in the middle of the transition. So Biden is making moves about his legacy to pretend like he was always there for Ukraine. This is an administration that has never wanted to have a peace agreement. They don't want peaceful settlements. They literally, there's no other conclusion to come to, but they want war. They've funded the war. They've never funded a peace operation. They've never funded peace agreements. Joe Biden has not spoken to Vladimir Putin in more than 3 years. Think about that. This is a disaster. You see, the Turks, our NATO ally Turkey, that has gone, they've come forward, President Erdogan, with a peace idea that they presented at the G20. Think about that. America is not putting forward a peace document, a peace process, but the Turks are. And this is a disaster for America's reputation because all we're doing is funding war. And the last piece that I'll say, just as a point of fact, is that even President Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, has come out, and I tweeted about this, he's come out and said that in 2025, the solution to what's going on between Russia and Ukraine is a diplomatic, peaceful solution. You now have the president of Ukraine saying, we want a peaceful solution. You have Turkey, our NATO ally, saying, here's a peaceful idea. And what happens? Joe Biden says, why don't you start launching missiles into Russia? This is a total disaster of epic proportion. I think that the media need to start asking, what is Joe Biden's actual goal here? Why does he keep funding war and why does he keep rejecting any peace ideas?
And Rick, it does feel just reckless here during the transition period with 63 days left in office, making a complete shift in U.S. policy, allowing for an escalation, not a de-escalation, as many, I would say the majority of the world would prefer to see a de-escalation. But it also strikes me as a time to be nervous that the administration is already making a big shift in policy. We know that the people that are running the foreign policy shop currently are all Obama appointees, or were at the JV team maybe in the Obama White House. But what we're seeing is a shift in this policy. We remember back in the final days of 2016 when the Obama administration with Samantha Power decided to stab Israel in the back at the United Nations. There's 63 days left. Are you concerned that this is the first step of potentially many other disastrous escalatory moves from this Biden White House as he drifts off into no longer being president?
Look, I'm very concerned about it. Just you go back even to the end of the Clinton days during the transition. I believe it was during the transition that Bill Clinton decided to add China to a forum of the World Trade Organization. And his idea back then was, let's invite them and I'll have the next president worry about it. That was a disaster. The human rights situation in China got worse. We thought that engagement would work. And I'm all for engagement if we can benchmark it and see if it works, but it didn't work in that situation. I think what we're going to see with the Biden team is an escalation on these wars to make Joe Biden look like he's tough. But again, I go back to the fact that we're funding with U.S. taxpayer dollars, billions and billions of dollars to the Ukrainian war. And Joe Biden hasn't picked up the phone and even spoken to Vladimir Putin. Now, I don't want a president who is afraid to engage with people who are starting wars. We need somebody who calls them up, meets with them and says, knock it off. What's going on? How do we solve this? But you have to be able to talk to someone in order to have a peace agreement. And instead, Joe Biden just keeps using our tax dollars to escalate. Now, saying that it's okay to launch missiles into Russia is very provocative. And I'm clear-eyed. I get what Russia is doing. They anteed up this war as well. They ratcheted it up. They're launching strikes, and it's unacceptable. But you got to pick up the phone and be able to talk if you want to be able to have negotiations for peace. And that's just the war in Ukraine that we're talking about. You look at what's happening in the Middle East, that's out of control. And this legacy of the Biden-Harris administration is going to be more wars that continue to escalate. They haven't been able to stop the wars, and they haven't been able to stop them from getting worse.
I think that's some of the concerns of the American people. I'm looking at the comments right now and like, hey, you know, the majority of the people voted for President Trump, specifically voting against this type of situation, trying to avoid a world war, trying to avoid war at this sort of mass scale, and to escalate it. It's almost saying, I don't care what the American people said. The Biden administration, like you said, to try to save their legacy, but inadvertently maybe setting up a bigger disaster for them and then a much bigger situation that President Trump is going to have to take on. Because we heard from Putin and we've heard from Zelensky since President Trump won, and both of them seem to be okay with having some conversations, to actually sitting down and getting this done. But of course, if 2 months from now, if the war has escalated this far, who knows what can be, you know, happening.
It's really scary because I feel like this whole team that's in charge right now is a bunch of academics who don't understand the reality of what's going on the ground. They don't know how to shift. They don't know how to act in real time. And that's Donald Trump's strength. Donald Trump is somebody who is all about dealing and adjusting. He won't stick to a policy that's failing. He will change it. And that's exactly what we need right now, is somebody who's listening to the ground and listening to those on the ground and reacting. And I think that is the strength of Trump. We need people who are willing to look at the reality of the situation, not just this academic exercise of what was planned 2 years ago, and be able to pick up the phone, be people persons, be able to talk to individuals, be able to argue and debate and push ideas and compromise. That's how we move this world forward. And we've got a team right now that's unwilling to even talk. That's scary.
When you have a situation where you have Antony Blinken going out there saying, hey, we're going to be dropping another $8 billion to Ukraine, plus we're going to you know, get as much out. I think his quote was, President Biden's committed to making sure every dollar we have at our disposal will be pushed out the door between now and January 20th. I mean, that is so not reading the room, as you said, of how the American people feel. Not necessarily about who is good or who is bad in terms of this war situation, but just the idea that they're like, hey, we're going to squeeze out every dollar we can until Trump comes in.
It's so obnoxious when you think about it. It's a disregard for the hard work that the American people do. We see our paychecks. We see how much money goes to Washington. And you literally have Anthony Blinken saying, you know, I got a whole bunch of money here left over, and I'm just going to throw it to the wind and spend it before Trump comes in. Knowing full well that their strategy, someone needs to admit that their strategy has caused two wars. We handed them total peace. They created two wars with their policies. And I think that we need to be very clear that these people who now are taking your money and just throwing it to the wind because they can, it's so obnoxious. It's the reason why they've lost. It's the reason why they're going to continue losing until they admit that their policies were so weak and far left that they caused two massive wars. And I'll finish with this. I think that the world leaders and people of different countries recognize that having President Trump is going to make the world safer. You look at what just happened at the G20 and the fact that the Chinese president is front and center. The world is wanting to be with him. And where did they put Joe Biden? In the way back.
Yep. Absolutely, Rick. Thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate your insight. And again, appreciate all the work you've done with us and for our country. So, of course, make sure you're following Rick and paying attention to all the stuff he posts. It's always excellent content. Thanks for joining us. We are going to take your phone calls in the next segment. We got three lines open right now, so this is a great time to call. 1-800-684-3110. You can talk about the escalation of the war in Ukraine. You can talk about President Trump and his team showing up at the UFC event. We can talk about anything. Just give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. If you're joining us now on YouTube or Rumble and you've never seen us before, you haven't hit that subscribe button, I encourage you to do that. It's free. It's a great way to support the work of the ACLJ. Over 445,000 of you have done that on YouTube alone, and know how much that helps the organization and helps this broadcast and helps your point of view get out there. So not only can you support the work financially, it's a great way to help by just hitting the like, hitting the subscribe, hitting that thumbs up, throw in a comment. If you don't know what to comment, just tell me where you're watching from. I love to always read those during the break. So I'm going to read those coming up. And of course, phone lines are still open at 1-800-684-3110. I encourage you to help join us in the fight. Have your gifts doubled right now during our Life, Our Faith, and Freedom Drive, ACLJ.org right now, or scan the QR code if you're watching on the screen to make your donation today.
After nearly 50 years, Roe versus Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. Extreme abortion advocates are not just going to give up, and neither are we. I thank you for making this victory possible, and I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
We now have a state-by-state fight. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift, which means, as we've said before, if you donate $20, we get $40. You donate $100, we get $200. We encourage you to do it.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We've assembled an elite legal team in offices here and around the globe, and we've been fighting in courtrooms, at the UN, and the halls of Congress for nearly 35 years. We've argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, and we've scored multiple victories for faith and freedom, all thanks to you, our donors. In order to meet legal demands of historical proportions, we are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. We need you now more than ever. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to aclj.org. Thank you.
Welcome back to Seculo. Now it's time to take your phone calls. We got a lot of them coming in. Let's start off with Robert, who's calling in California, who's an ACLJ champion. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to say, you know, I'm so blessed that you guys, and that I'm monthly supporter, that you guys protect life. There's nothing more than a blessing than watching your children have their children, as we witnessed on Sunday.
Oh, congratulations. I was like, you know, congratulations, you're a grandparent. That's pretty awesome, Robert. We appreciate your support. And, of course, support of the pro-life cause, which is something that we are majorly a part of, and it's been something that's been at the core of the ACLJ since its founding. So, Robert, I appreciate you calling in to share that, and also a big congratulations to you, and you know, hopefully raising up a bunch of new ACLJ champions. Let's continue on, take some more calls. Let's go to Annabelle, who's calling in California on line four.
Hi. President Trump's been making choices to join his administration according to their specific expertise that will reflect his policies, protect the American people collectively as a nation. The ACLJ's amazing strength and its ability to also aid individuals who are victimized by a dangerous agenda at home and worldwide. We must lock arms to guarantee that all freedoms consistent with our founding fathers and the Constitution are withheld in our great country. The American people boldly exercise their precious right to vote on November 5th. Now it is also incumbent on us to support the ACLJ and ensure the phenomenal opportunity to access the finest legal representation free of charge, no matter what the need. Please join me and the others and become an ACLJ champion. God bless a bright future for all Americans under President Trump, and God bless the ACLJ.
Annabelle, you mentioned also, you know, the ACLJ strength of advocating for the individual. We talked about the parent who were defending against a slander lawsuit. And as well, we have defended one of our own colleagues, Tulsi Gabbard, who has been nominated to the position of the Director of National Intelligence because of being spied on and followed, put on a terror watch list by the United States government. So the same legal team that's fighting and has been fighting for the next Director of National Intelligence yeah. is also fighting for a parent of a student at a local school, public school, who just wanted to voice her concern about things that administration and staff and teachers were saying at that school, and got hit with a lawsuit. Same team. It's fighting for both those people. It's hard to sometimes fathom, yeah. even working inside the ACLJ, at the breadth and scope of what we are able to do, able to fight for people no matter who they are, because we want to fight for their constitutional rights and make sure that those rights are protected.
It is always a fun tell, also, just as where the country is right now, that you have Tulsi Gabbard, who months ago was on a terror watch list and now is the nominee for Director of National Intelligence. You know, there is certainly some irony there in terms of who is going to be in control of things.
Guess who's your boss now?
Yeah.
You people that put me on the Quiet Skies program, guess who's your boss
yeah.
now? Me.
Yeah, Tulsi is the captain now.
Right.
Let's go ahead and continue on and take some more calls. Fred's calling Tennessee. Fred, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. I was just calling to wonder why anybody thinks that Biden is in charge in the United States. He doesn't have the mental capacity to do anything. But my question is who is actually running the country, and will there be any consequences for this shadow government that's been running our country?
Well, Fred, we're always looking into where things are going. We're always submitting FOIA requests. We are always looking into that, because there obviously is the quote-unquote deep state issue that always occurs as different administrations go in and out, and what that looks like. Of course, people have issues with President Biden. We have seen him now, you know, showing back up a little bit more now that Kamala Harris has been defeated. So what happened? We saw him have his peaceful transfer of power moment with the flaming, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego flames going behind them. And then you had the situation where he was apparently in the Amazon roaming around. This is It is sad because you are right that there are definitely people in this administration making these decisions that probably are not President Biden, but also, as Rick said, they're trying to kind of clean up the legacy on the way out.
That's right. And I mean, as far as foreign policy, Anthony Blinken and Jake Sullivan, yeah. I think that they've been driving foreign policy for this administration for the majority of his administration. I know that President Biden would argue in the book that comes out in a year about his legacy that he was the one making all the decisions. But you know, it's all of these moves have the fingerprints of Jake Sullivan and Anthony Blinken. And so, I think that they're the ones dictating and driving policy, at least here at the end, which is what makes it more dangerous. These are people that were appointed and confirmed to the National Security Advisor. Jake Sullivan is just given the job. That's not an appointed position. But these are people that Joe Biden brought in. They weren't elected by the people. That's how our government is set up. Now, the cabinet of Trump, it'll be the same thing. They will have a lot of leeway. But I do know, based off of history, President Trump likes to be the final say and will take. That's also why there's sometimes figures within his administration that seem to not have the same ideas. He likes to have competing ideas and then pick the best one. That is a completely different strategy than what we're seeing out of the Biden administration.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and take another call. Michelle's calling from California on line 5. She's ACLJ champion. You're on the air.
Thank you. Okay, question. Is it possible that Zelensky will just not make use of the long-range missiles and just wait for Trump to get into office?
I don't think so, Michelle. I don't think there's any indication that that is something that those running Ukraine, whether it's Zelensky or his team, have any interest in. In fact, he has specifically said over the weekend in one of his statements, I was watching an interview, said, you know, the idea of sitting down and just having a conversation and working this out maybe is not on the table right now.
And I think that once President Trump is in office, that
changes. Yeah.
The entire narrative will change. I know that they had a call already. President Zelensky had a call with President Trump
and Elon Musk.
The first buddy I've seen people referring to him as. But that was a productive call. So I think that things will change. But if they're given the free rein to start firing these missiles, yeah, they're going to do it.
Yeah,
I think
I'd
that they're going to be playing chess here in these final 63 days to see, hey, can we push back territory a little bit? Yeah. And they're going to use that opportunity afforded to them now that their benefactor, the United States, has taken off restrictions.
All right, let's quickly take Tricia. Tricia, you only got like 20 seconds. I'm sorry, we're just running out of time, but go ahead.
Well, I'm not surprised at any of this because we just all follow the money. Years and years now, anytime the Democrats are in control, they say they're giving money. They say they're doing what is right. But part of that money comes back into their personal pockets.
Well, it's all, Tricia, it's all politics for sure.
And Tulsi Gabbard talks about the military-industrial complex. When you have so much influence by contracting firms, defense contractors, that are making these weapons that then the taxpayers are paying to send to Ukraine, yeah, they don't want it to end. They're making a lot of money right now.
Right. The votes were cast because they don't want things like this. You want to see the cleanup of food. You want to see the cleanup in the White House and in Washington, D.C. These are the changes that I think people that are so shocked at who's being picked. It's like, this is what was voted for. This is what's happening. It's going to be a rough road for the next few months to get all of that going and confirmed. And I'm sure it's going to be very interesting television. You can be a part of the work of the ACLJ, though, at any time. But go into ACLJ.org as we are in the middle of our faith and freedom drive. We encourage you to give it right now because all gifts are doubled.
We are witnessing attacks on our faith and freedoms on a global scale at an intensity we haven't seen in generations. Here at the ACLJ, we are uniquely positioned to meet these attacks head on. We are launching our Faith and Freedom Drive. Your gifts are doubled, dollar for dollar. The country needs you, the world needs you, and Israel needs you. Have your gift doubled through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. Go to ACLJ.org